All right. Well, I stand corrected. I just thought that last Sunday I was done with this. I'm not done with this. So I am going to talk about alignment and relationships today. That's what we're going to talk about. I know that last week I wasn't sure that I was going to go ahead and do that. I didn't have enough time, but that's what we're going to do today. And the reality is, this type of talk, when we talk about relationships, it hits us all right where we live, because there is no hypothetical to it, there is no theoretical to it. It is all application. Whenever we talk about our relationships and God's purpose in our lives and how our relationships are supposed to line up rightly with God's purpose for our lives, anyway, you'll see why it's so touchy in just a minute. John, pop that up there for me. Okay, so we're talking about relationships. And 1 John 4:20 tells us this: whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So the truth is, relationships are telling, relationships are necessary, and God connects the dots for us between our relationships with people and our relationship with Him. We can't ignore it. We can't say that our relationship with others are separate from our relationship with Him. Even the great commandment. What's the great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, everything you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. Even Jesus didn't divorce the two, didn't separate them from one another. So if our relationships with other people are broken or dysfunctional or troubled, then somebody's out of alignment with God's purpose. Now, the words that we see discussed many times are used whenever we talk about this idea is that idea of reconciliation. We're going to see it in our first passage we're going to look at for just a minute. John, next slide, please. So in 2 Corinthians, we use this to talk about mission in the last couple of weeks. But interesting how these passages have more than one way to look at them, kind of like looking at a diamond in the light or a prism in the light. You turn it a little bit, it's the same thing, but you see a little different nuance to it. So 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17 says, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old is gone, the new is here. We love that passage. Next two verses, three verses. All this is from God. There's that funny word. Who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We said that, talked about our mission, how our mission need to be aligned with God's mission. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He is committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. Okay, again, our mission, reconciliation. It was Christ's mission, reconciliation. So here's the question. And it's a hard question. Not because it's hard to answer, but because it gets us, pierces us to the heart. Can we bear a message of reconciliation with credibility if we won't practice it? Is that rhetorical, or is that just painful? Maybe a little both. Because you and I know people who would say that they love Jesus, but they're bitter. They're angry. Some of them hate. And sometimes, when we look in the mirror, those people are us. If we're going to be people who are going to be ambassadors talking about the mission of reconciliation, then we've got to be the ones who are willing to be reconciled with not just God, but with others too. So why do we choose not to practice being reconciled with others? Pride?
If you're honest with yourself, it's an undertaking.
Okay.
You have to commit.
If you're honest, it's an undertaking. You have to commit. Okay. We choose justice over reconciliation. Now, I'm going to tell you, in our thinking, we think that the two cannot exist simultaneously. But I'm going to tell you, God shows me over and over again that things I did not think could exist simultaneously can and will if He's involved. So is there a possibility sometimes that there could actually be justice for the hurt and reconciliation at the same time? And see, with God, that is possible. We convince ourselves, because we believe a lie, that those two are not possible to exist simultaneously. Ah, okay. We think we are the you know, judge and jury, and we are rightfully equipped to be the judge and the jury, because we are the ones who have been hurt oftentimes. Now, sometimes it's even vicarious, okay? Sometimes we know somebody and they've been hurt, and we take on their hurts, and we then absorb those same feelings, emotions, and attitudes about it. You know, children are really bad about that. They can't help it. It makes sense, okay? If a child sees a parent who's in some way hurt, what do you think they're going to feel towards the person who hurt their parent? It would make sense. I think part of this has to do with how we define the word reconcile. Because I don't know that once a relationship has been damaged, that even when there's reconciliation, that means that it goes back to the way that it was. It may be that there is a degree of reconciliation where there's no longer anger or animosity or bitterness, but that may not mean that the relationship is all that it used to be. It's going to be different. It's going to be changed. And it's because of the sin. That's pretty consistent, is that sin in the Bible still has its consequences, even if there is forgiveness and grace. You with me on this? You following? Making sense? So why is reconciliation? And we're going to get to forgiveness. I'm not ignoring that altogether, believe me. That is something we need to focus on. And we've talked about, I think, some of why reconciliation is so difficult. Can you think of anything else that maybe you'd want to add about why reconciliation is so difficult? I think the problem is we're trying to play semantics. I can treat someone well. I can even have a relationship with them, but that does not mean that I trust them, that I let them in to a certain level of kinship. I think if we are going to be ambassadors and we're supposed to be carrying a message of reconciliation, then we need to be open to reconciling. To whatever degree reconciliation can be possible. Now, I agree with Regina. It's a process. It's not snap. You know, it's all done. Many of us are on a journey where we're still trying to come to the point where we can reconcile with others to some degree about certain things. Sometimes it is it's all wrapped up in, and what we're going to talk about in a minute, in this, the whole idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that has to happen before any degree of reconciliation. And again, I believe the relationship has changed. It's not the same. It's not going to be the same. It can't be the same because sin has marred it. But that does not mean that however God defines reconciliation cannot take place to whatever degree God allows it to take place. I think we write off reconciliation far too fast. We just say, we don't have to do it. And I think we do. Because if we're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation, we ought to practice it. And if we write off whatever reconciliation is possible, we are out of alignment. Now, is that making sense? It's just too easy. It's just far too easy to say, well, I only have to do this. Whereas instead, God's saying, forgive them, and then see how far the reconciliation, again, in time, as you're able to, but that you're open and you're willing for God to minister to your spirit so that you can get to where you can say, okay, we can really only be reconciled to this point, but I can live with that. That's where it needs to be. But that's a whole lot different from saying, I'm hurt, I have my rights not to have to reconcile, which then in some way stunts my spiritual growth so that I cannot be a minister of reconciliation. I believe that forgiveness is a part of the process of reconciliation. It could be 90% of it, but it's a part. Reconciliation is a little bigger than forgiveness, but forgiveness is a key component to reconciliation. I still think that there are relationships that can be marred to the point where they can never be what they were. That doesn't mean that there can't be a relationship. It's just they can't be what they were. As long as you're open to in some way communicating that, if it's possible. Yes. It doesn't mean you have to go re-engage entirely. We're talking about also a lot of different situations. And of course, every situation is unique to each individual pair of people who might be engaged or in this now, this relationship has had a rift. I mean, simple as friends, as deep as divorce, it goes in a lot of different, and every one of them is individual. So we're talking about something that's very hard to necessarily place in each individual situation. Sure is. Which is why we have got to be giving ourselves over to the leadership of the Spirit of God and not doing this. We can't say no. Does that make sense? Can't say no, I don't want to reconcile. Now, again, we need to say, what does that look like? What does that mean in this situation? We have to let God show us that. So I am not trying to define what that looks like for every individual. I can't do that. But if we're going to be ministers of reconciliation, we have to be willing to go where God tells us to go. It takes time. You're listening. And you're doing your best to do what God told you to do. And that's what we're accountable for. So let's talk about some other passages. In Matthew chapter 5, you know, we've been very broad about application so far. Let's see what Jesus applies some of this stuff to. Now, if you go to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. So how important is it that we allow relationships to be reconciled or restored? Was it important to Jesus? And were there any kind of relationships possibly that he was eliminating from this? So how do our relationships with others affect our relationship with God? Well, we're the ones who have offended in this case. Jesus is talking about You know you've offended somebody. And I'm not using that word in a simplistic form. I'm talking about you have injured, you have hurt, you have done something to affect another person in a way that hurt them. We're supposed to take up the responsibility. And that's a powerful thing. So the relationship between our with people and our relationship with God, how does that work? Well, obviously,
we get too abstract on that.
Yeah, a little bit. I think Jesus was applying it to individual at this point. But I think there's probably some elements of that that would then relate to the macro as opposed to the micro. Because see, I think this goes to the core issue. Can we live this way and say we're this way? Can we really say that we're reconciled to God and choose not to be in some way open to reconciliation with others? Just after he says this. Next slide, John. Jesus talks about different kinds of broken relationships. They're rather serious. He talks about murder. He talks about legal proceedings. He talks about marriage and adultery. He talks about marriage and divorce. And he talks about oaths, agreements between friends. Right there. Right after what he just said. I think too many times when we start dissecting the Gospels, we start taking apart pieces of Scripture and only and not providing them in context, we lose so much. And here we have Jesus talking about being reconciled, and then he starts to talk about all these places where there are broken relationships. And they're serious. Murder is about as serious as you can get. So evidently, there's a degree of reconciliation that God expects us to be open to and to pursue as He leads us. Does this make sense? It's not easy to deal with, but that is the way it is. So all the things that we've been talking about, this is not an exhaustive list, but it is a tough list to swallow. We go later in Matthew. Another dimension of relationships being broken. You know, Peter went to Jesus. It says, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And then you know what Jesus said. Let's try a number you don't want to count. As we dwell on this passage for a minute and what Jesus said, why do we need to forgive? We've talked about this before. Why do we need to forgive? So how does forgiveness then, in what way does it realign our relationships when we forgive? To whatever degree is possible. How does forgiving someone who has offended us, and then I'll even say, okay, if we seek forgiveness for those that we have offended, how does that realign the relationship to the degree that is possible? I think one of the reasons why we have a hard time forgiving people is because we forget that we were forgiven. And we act like our junk doesn't stink and theirs does. Their stinks worse than me, so I don't have to forgive. Because my stuff isn't that bad. And I don't know if you call that pride or what, but it's stinking thinking. The end of Romans chapter 12. Do you remember that little verse? Or little two verses there? Romans chapter 12. Somebody offends you. How are you supposed to react? Are you supposed to seek vengeance? No, it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love them, because what happens when you love them? It gets all over them. Like, and he said burning coals. Now, you know, we think that's a bad thing, okay? But you got to remember that burning coals had a purifying effect in the ritual in the temple. What does Isaiah said? What did he say? The angel picked up with a pair of tongs. What? Burning coal. What did it do? Did it melt him? Was it like Indiana Jones and all the guys go to wax? No. It purified. We keep thinking that's such a bad thing. Forgiveness and reconciliation are essential because it's where the power of God comes to bear upon real people. And if we aren't going where God will lead us to go in reconciliation, and we're not willing to forgive, then we're saying, no, thank you, God, don't want you here. And we can't be a part of the ministry of reconciliation, no matter how hard we try or how well we talk. Forgive ad nauseum till you can't do it anymore. All right, see where I am. I've got two or three more passages that I'm not going to go into right now. So I guess we're going to do this again next Sunday. We're going to finish this. All right? Anything else that you need to share this morning? I am not smart enough to have all this stuff answered. Because real life is a whole lot different than doing what I'm doing right now. I'm acknowledging that. Okay? There is no way that what God could have me say would be able to answer every question you've got about how to live out what we're talking about. It is no way. I'm not going to say that I can do that. But what I do know that we're talking about is what God said. And I do believe sometimes we have kind of skimmed over stuff that we don't really... It's not what we've heard all the time. It's not what everyone's always told us about these passages. And the reality is, it's there, and we've just let people define for us that we don't have to go any farther. And the reality is, we do. Jesus said we're supposed to go the second mile. Okay, let's bow. Father, I pray that as we keep soaking on this that you've said in your word, that, Lord, you would help us to come to grips with our responsibility as your ambassadors to practice what we preach. Lord, show us, help us in the process where we are to forgive and to be reconciled to the degree that we can, so that we will allow your power to come to bear upon the people and the relationships that you've put in our lives. Lord, I ask that you would forgive us when we have not let you do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.